Can we get much higher?
Oh, so when you roll out of bed on a Monday and you've been at the footy all weekend and you try and get yourself up and running for Monday's show, it's always much easier to get yourself up and running when you know that Nick Del Santo will come in with bullets in the barrel and loaded for Monday's edition of Afternoons. Hello, Del.
Hello, Jack. A very good afternoon to you. How was your weekend, first of all?
Busy.
Yeah, a bit on.
Three games, as you would well know, that's a normal weekend for you, so I'm not going to get any sympathy. But, yeah, you see a bit of footy, which is great. And then you throw in there, obviously, trying to stay across the Masters across the weekend too. And before we go to the footy, your other great love, besides your family.
No, it's fine. In order's fine. Golf, family, football.
I sort of figured that.
Yep, that's
is golf.
Yeah, I do.
Did you stay up across the night and watch this?
I got back from the Gold Coast late last night and the golf started early because of the weather warning. Yeah. So I actually watched the first part of it as I was going to bed last night and have recorded it. And woke up during the night to a young child trying to jump into bed. So I thought I'll just quickly check the app and I think they're on about the turn. So about the 9th or the 10th. So I got a quick update. But I also have a couple of apps that give those alerts. So I wake up this morning at 6:15 when the young fella's had enough and ready to get up and have some breakfast. And I had the alert on my phone.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods wins, number 15. I was thrilled. I put out a tweet yesterday, and I don't often do this, with a poll. And I just wanted to get a bit of a feel because I was sitting there in the lounge yesterday at Qantas watching the last couple of putts go through. And I thought, I wonder who we're going for. Like, I'm cheering for Tiger Woods.
I did see that on Twitter, yeah.
But the only reason I put it out there, it's a little bit un-Australian. So I gave a few options. I said, are you going for Molinari, who was in the lead? Are we going for Tiger Woods? Or are you going for one of the Australians, being Jason Day or Adam Scott or another? Tiger Woods won.
Mm.
So I allowed it to go
surprised.
For 24 hours. Yep. So it finished up this morning. Tiger Woods had the majority at 47% of Australians were going for Tiger Woods over the Australians to win it. I think it just shows the significance of him. And I know he's put himself in this position in a lot of ways. You know, going back a decade or so ago, he's had the back surgeries. But don't we love a comeback? And don't we just cheer on the story? And I don't think there's a bigger story in the last, well, I'm 35 years of age. I can't think of a bigger story in golf or sport in the last 35 odd years.
I think what made it so good for me personally is I just didn't think we'd see it again.
Yeah.
There's certain things in sport and in life sometimes where you switch your mind off to it. And Tiger's form's been reasonable. And some people who are better golf judges than me will say, well, he's been building towards this. But it's one thing to build and it's another to actually do it. And I just didn't think in my lifetime again that I would see Tiger on the last day with the red shirt ripping a competition apart. And there's no doubt about it that the others around, particularly Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, who was great in the last round, Dustin Johnson too, I might add, Molinari, there's no doubt they knew that he was coming. And that would have made them nervous. They would have kept their eyes on the leaderboard. It's just been so long since we've seen that I honestly didn't think we would see it again.
The presence was there again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The intimidation factor that Tiger's around the mark going into day four at the world's best golf tournament. And you think about where it sits in history, in that tournament in particular. Those that love their golf can probably acknowledge this. But this is the most prestigious thing in the world of golf. So he's had the last decade that he has, some self-inflicted, back surgeries, the form. I think the competition's as competitive as it has ever been in regards to it's a lot more open than it was probably when Tiger started. And at the age of, what is he, early 40s, 42, 43, to be able to come back and win on the biggest day, I was thrilled. I can't wait to get home this afternoon and watch that back nine again.
We're just looking at the press conference here. He's a champion for the fifth time at the Masters and he can do whatever he likes. The feathers are getting pretty thin up there, though, for Tiger, aren't they?
You reckon when you're worth over $1 billion, you'd think so. Plug a couple back in.
Walker's not worth $1 billion, and he's gone and done it. Dal's here thanks to McCafe Coffee. They're available 24/7, barista-made coffee from McCafe. And, of course, make your trip exciting with Scooty. They are the two-wheeled taxi. So we digress a little bit, but you also saw a lot of footy. What did you make of the weekend? Did you enjoy the round of footy?
For the first time, Jack, and I'm always an optimistic sort of person. I look at the positives out of games. I'm getting a little bit disappointed with the standard of football, I must admit. For nearly the first time in my involvement at senior level, I just can't get my head around, in particular, the skill level of this elite competition. It's ruining the product, in my opinion. That's how severe the skill level, or lack of, is becoming. Almost across the board. It's not just the poor teams anymore. It is some of the best teams. It's some of our elite players that are struggling to execute one of the fundamentals of our game.
Why does it happen? Some of it would come natural to you, and you were, you know, not just pumping your tyres, but you were a great user of the footy, so it clearly came naturally to you, but...
You have to work a little bit as well. I accept and I appreciate that, but you have to work on it. Now, I think this is a greater issue, and I had a really good conversation with Paul Roos and Anthony Hudson yesterday after the Gold Coast Carlton game. I think it could go back to grassroots football where kids just do not have the football in their hands like we probably did growing up, Jay. They don't kick at recess. They don't kick at lunchtime. They don't go into the park after school's finished. They do other things. And I know the world's changed. I completely accept that. But they might be missing out on a million kicks over their childhood. By the time they get to 18, they're a million kicks down. I don't think kids love the game and therefore don't have the football in their hands as much as they do. I think as a recruiting strategy, and this might be a little bit generic, we focus on the athletes. We focus on this pressure style of game. I think everybody focuses on pressure, and if you can pressure, you're in the team. Now, without being really rude and without naming names, there's players in the AFL on the weekend that shouldn't be playing AFL football because they can't execute the fundamentals of the game. You know what they can do? They pressure, they chase, and they tackle. They don't get their hands on the football enough. And therefore, the product that we're watching is getting diluted.
Is it fixable? Because coaches are
all... It's not our choice.
Well, coaches are always saying, though, they don't get enough access to their players during the week. Can you actually get enough time with players to fix these deficiencies?
I understand where the coaches are coming from. And, you know, some of them have got concerns with the AFLPA and the rights around what the players can and can't do or what they have to and what they don't have to do anymore. I think it would be a brush off if you're going to blame it solely on that. I think the players can take responsibility. If the players want to get better, Jack, they can do it. If the players want to focus on their skills, they can do it. Now, within the parameters of the training staff who, you know, we've said have taken over the game to a certain point, and maybe they have, maybe the balance is going back towards coaches a little bit in regards to actually getting them to play football. But I just can't get my head around the disposal and the lack of decision-making within it. We called the game on Thursday night. It was the Sydney Swans and the Demons up there at SCG. And at one stage, I said, Jack, I said, just a drop punt would be nice.
I've never actually seen you physically get annoyed. We've done 3 years of footy together. I've never actually seen you like throw a pen in disgust.
It is mind-boggling. It's like a tradie going to work and their job is to hammer in a nail and they can't do it. These players' responsibility, full-time job, is to execute what their skills are. Kicking, marking, handballing, tackling when it's, you know, whatever it may be, whatever it's required. But there was one stage I said during the call, and I was a little bit sarcastic, and I probably shouldn't go down that path, but if you're a forward, all you're ever asked for is just a drop punt. Allow the forward to at least try and read the ball off the player's foot. And you can't when they're kicking mongrel punts. You can't when they're floaters or their screw kicks around their body. I feel a little bit disappointed that I feel like the essence of our game, being the maybe being skills, is just being diluted by as long as you can chase, as long as you can pressure.
Vince is in Geelong and has got some thoughts on the skill factor in footy. G'day, Vince.
Hello.
Vince, are you there?
Hello.
We can hear you, Vince.
We've
can
got you loud and clear. No, I think we might just, Vince can have a spell until we can sort his phone out. So I guess the other part to this, Dell, is that some suggested you go back 12 months, and I don't want to get bogged down in the new rules conversation again.
Yep.
But part of the talk was that it's about fatiguing the players, you know, by reducing rotations, et cetera, so that late in the game, that these things, this might be a consequence of trying to fatigue the players, is that the skill level drops off. Are you seeing that?
I don't think the skills were much better last year.
Okay.
And I spoke to someone from Champion Data on the way home from the airport after the Sydney and D's game last year. I said, this is what I'm seeing. Give me some numbers to support this so I'm not going crazy. I said, this is what we're seeing. This is what people are talking about. Now, what Champion Data are going to struggle with is the game style has changed. A lot more short kicks, a lot more maintaining possession. We've seen a lot of going backwards, chipping, you know, 45 degrees here, 45 there. So number-wise, the players' kicking percentage might be actually better. But those style of kicks, don't really penetrate the game. It's the ones now that when they're trying to go forward, they're just turning over. And we're starting, and you're the commentator, you're doing play-by-play. We're complimenting just a decent kick. Wow, he's hit a lead. No, he hasn't. He's just kicked a drop punt to the forward.
It's actually a fair point.
We're now starting to compliment an AFL kick. I just feel like the whole product is now getting washed away because it doesn't happen very often, and it should happen. That is what you're paid to do. I understand the focus on defence and pressure and corralling and all that comes in with it, but we can still use the football in a manner that is acceptable.
Why don't we try Vince from Geelong again and see if he's got us. Are you with us now, Vince?
Yes, I am. G'day, fellas. Mate, I have to tend to agree with you, Dal. I'm a Carlton supporter, so watching the footy on the weekend was a pretty horrible experience. Just something you were saying on the skills. One thing I noticed, all these rule changes, I just feel like how can players play on instinct when they've got so much to think about? Even something as what you think little as the runner not coming out, I'm finding that the flow of play is not changing as quickly. It's waiting for a break before, teams come out and try something different. And I just feel like when you're not playing on instinct, and I think that's what you're good at, Del, and I think the more we dilute it with the rules, the harder it is for players. I can't help but feel for them.
Yeah, we sit here a month into this football season and we're probably worth a chat about the rules and where it currently sits. And there has already been some conversation about the lack of scoring off the back of these rules. Now, there's probably reasons for that. I'm actually not a hater of the rules. I still feel like it needs a little bit more time to really settle in. I like what Steve Hocking does and, I'm a fan of his and his ability to actually throw it out and see what comes back. And if it works, let's go with it. I'm okay with that. I think we'd be making excuses for the players and the coaching staff if we said it is the rule changes that is crushing this game at the moment. I think the players and coaches need to take a lot of responsibility, not the rule changes to this point.
We're going
to
start Stop and Go Del Santo after this, and that's my number one question for you is about the weekend being a reminder about who the game belongs to and who controls the game. So we'll talk about that. Some more of your calls on the skills that you've seen from the season so far. Del's come in with a sledgehammer to start with. It's not like you, Del, but I don't mind it.
I've had enough, Jack.
No, I can tell. Don't take your bad moods out on me.
I like you.
It's Afternoons on SEN. Jack Heverin filling in for Andy Marr today on Afternoons. We'll talk cricket after 1 o'clock with Trevor Hones to speak very shortly, the chairman of selectors. The squad is out, but we haven't heard from Trevor Hones as yet, so we'll do that, and we'll talk to Bob Quiney after 1 o'clock on that one as well. Nick Del Santo's here in the first hour for McCafe, the barista-made coffee, available 24/7, and for Scooty. If you want a fun, quick and affordable way around town, then take a Scooty and download the app today. All guns blazing by you, Nick Del Santo. I like it.
You like it?
Real hard. Hitting stuff from you.
I am passionate about it. I do a little bit of work with young kids in regards to skill acquisition and stuff like that. So I see it. I feel like I've lived it. And I felt like this when I was playing, to be completely honest with you, Jack, that there was not an oversight because you're full time and you're fully committed. But there was definitely a transition from learning the skills and the fundamentals at a young age. And I'm talking about getting drafted at 18 or 17 in my case, to learn that in the first few years. So whatever level of football you go to from there, it holds up and it's a standard of footy that can go through, it can filter through. And then we obviously transition into this running game. And I understand that the game changes. So please don't take this like we need to go back to the old days or, I don't believe in defense because I do. But I just think there's an opportunity and I don't know who it's going to be, what coach it is. And I look at the Eagles from last year. They've got some really good ball users. I look at the Hawks and we complimented how good they were for when they win 3 in a row. They had superb kicks.
I think Brisbane will become a good kicking team. They're almost there. Take the weekend out. They were horrible on the weekend, but they will become a good kicking team, I think.
I've played in some big finals and we had, and this is going back quite a while, and I apologise for talking about myself, but we had players that were told not to kick the football.
In a grand final?
In a grand final. If they got their hands on the football, one of the better kicks go over and get a handball off them because we don't want
them. No wonder your numbers were so big.
No wonder I was running backwards all day. But that was honestly the message, Jack. Yep. This is where the game was at then, and think about it where it's at now, that I just can't get my head around when you're coming out of a centre square that you can clearly miss a target. You've got the ball held up on centre wing and you kick it out of bounds on the full, for God's sake. Like, it's just staggering what's going on.
A couple of thoughts on this one from Ashley in Echuca to start with. G'day, Ashley.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good.
Very good.
That's the way. Hey, I agree with what Dale was saying, with the skill levels over the last few years of the players. But I also think I agree with one of your last callers too, talking about, obviously these rule changes, because really for the game. All these, you know, over the last, you know, few years, you look at how I think we're turning these plays into robots. We're trying to manufacture a game to what we think we want to watch, but in fact, I think we're digging ourselves into a bigger hole. Like, I do agree with, I don't agree with KB a hell of a lot, but I reckon if we go back to the rules in early 2000s and just limit rotations, I think the game would have been a hell of a lot better you know, now than what it is you know, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, once again, and I completely understand your point, I think we're taking too much responsibility off the players and the coaches.
Yeah. Oh, so that's your take on this,
isn't
it?
That is my take. I mean, there's been rules put in place, and I'm going to look at the centre square bounce, for example. I think it's working well. And I covered three games on the weekend, Jack, and rarely did we see the wingers run in, so they didn't, you know, impact the contest at centre square bounce. The half forwards and half backs from either end didn't come in. It's actually nice to watch that part of the game just unfold by itself. But even the kicks coming out of there at times weren't drop punts. That's my frustration. And you can touch on who's owning the game. Who has taken back responsibility after these rule changes were made in the summer?
We're going to work into Stop Go Del Santo straight after the news. Michael's from Roxburgh Park also wants to talk about the skill level. Hi, Michael.
Hey, g'day, guys. It's funny. Nick, I agree with you and disagree with you at the same time. I wonder if that's possible. Obviously, it is. But I agree with you in part. Like, I watched the and actually went live and saw the Tigers versus Port game. And I think, and then I watched a few other games as well. And I think with the coaches trying to minimise the kicking rule, or kick out rule, I should say, a lot of sides are playing that keeping off football. So possessions have just skyrocketed. If you have a look, a lot of sides are, you know, like 20% of what they normally do. So I think the more chains of possessions you have, the more prone you are to an error. Now that's not to excuse the players, because it is on the players, but it's probably a slight reason why it's happening. But really, guys, all these experts at Richmond, done, finished, season's gone. Just to give you guys an insight, we have 6 new debutants, right? 6 new players into the side. Go over to Adelaide, beat Adelaide. Our VFL side, it should have been a lot weaker, because obviously the 6 new people in the seniors beat the better VFL sides by 7 goals. And I just want to bring the conversation a little bit about football. How good is Ross? I think they found 3 permanent 22 players in Ross, Stack and Bolter. What do you think?
And you know what I love, Michael? If I had a prize to give you, I'd give you one. In fact, we'll give you one. Trent will sort you out. Stay there. Do you know what I like what Michael's done? Michael said, all right, here's my thoughts on your point.
Yep.
Now I want to talk about Richmond. And good on him. You know what? If I was a Richmond supporter, I would want to talk about Saturday too. Good on him.
Yeah. No, he agreed with me, disagreed with me, and then went on his own tangent anyway.
It was
complimented
good.
The tie. That was a good performance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a brave, brave effort.
We're going to talk about them
changes.
Very shortly. But how, as a supporter of a team, all you want to see is your team have a crack.
Yep.
Win, lose or draw, you just want to see them have a crack. I saw the Saints yesterday, saw them have a crack. And even if the Saints had lost that game yesterday, you would have walked away saying, okay, we're somewhere. We stand for something. We're somewhere. Richmond just had a go. And they won as a result of having a go with a half a team in.
Well, I was going to say, with half a team. But isn't that the bare minimum? Shouldn't that be expected from AFL players that you turn up and you, in our terminology, have a crack?
Well, sorry,
if it's a given?
Sorry to say it, Del. I saw one on Saturday that didn't have a go at the MCG.
Is that right?
Yeah, Brisbane.
You're going to go that far to say
absolutely.
They did not have a go?
I thought they were horribly underwhelming, Brisbane. I know they're young. Mm. We're going to talk about them very shortly as well. The news with K-Mac coming up, then we launch into Stop Go Del Santo. Let's launch into Stop Go Del Santo. We're going to have to do a shorter and sharper edition of this one today, which some would say isn't bad because we can waffle on a bit, you and I.
And we never go. We just stop.
We get reminded frequently that we don't actually stop. Why don't we start with, did this round remind us that the game belongs to the coaches?
Stop.
I thought you might want to stop.
Let's go back to the summer, Jack. Let's rewind the clock 6-odd months when Steve Hocking and the AFL were telling us about these new rule changes and telling us what the game was going to look like. And I was all for it. I said, if the rules change and they are exactly like you say, I'm on board, we're all on board. This product is going to look fantastic. My concern was, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to get the coaches and the players to abide by what they're trying to make the pawns in this chessboard play like. It's never going to happen. And I put my hand up, Jack. I used to put myself in the Ross Lyon position. If I was coach and I'm Ross Lyon and I'm listening to this, My little mind's ticking over. I'm thinking about ways to shut the game down. I'll give you the back pocket and then we're going to squeeze you up and you've got to kick long down the line anyway. You only get an extra 10 metres. All those scenarios were going through my head. And I think after a month of football, we're starting to see that the players and the coaches can manipulate in the right way, not cheating manipulate, but can form the game in a way that suits them to ultimately win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree completely. I think some of the criticism about low scoring and the way that the games were played, go back to the game plans. Mm. Go back to the way that they are controlled rather than the new rules, whether they're working or not. There are some, and coaches' job are to win games of football,
yep,
because that's how they stay employed.
Of course.
And some believe that with the new rules the way it is at the moment, that maintaining possession, high possession, chip, 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 15-metre kick by 15-metre kick by 15-metre kick, short chip inside to the tip of 50.
Yep.
Some coaches believe that that's the way to win. And there's not much we can do about that.
No,
if that's
right,
the way they're going to coach, there's not much we can do about it.
We speak about the centre square bounce setup when we call it the 6-6-6. The other part of it that doesn't allow that to play out as much as it as you would like is the goal kicking's poor. I had a look at the games on the weekend. 11 out of the 18 teams kicked more behinds than they did goals.
They did.
So what does that mean? That means the ball's in the getting kicked out of the fullback position rather than being back in the centre of the ground, and we've got a different looking game from there. Obviously, that goes back to the skills, and I'm not touching on that, but I'm talking about the rules. The coaches will do whatever they need to do to get over the line. And if you're looking at your coach, would you ever question your senior coach as a supporter this is and say, I don't like that style of game, but we're winning? Like,
yeah, not many would do that.
Which one do you want?
Nah.
Like, do you want the purity of the game and the game looks beautiful but you're losing? Or would you prefer your coach to shut the game down and get over the line and win? You take column B.
Reminds me of a scene out of White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, what a movie.
Yeah.
Woody.
Oh, that is one of the best. We're here thanks to Scooty, a two-wheel taxi. Leave boredom behind. More Stop Go Del Santo after this. And I'm actually going to find something that you are going to go on rather than just stopping on everything. I've got a couple here that I've deliberately put them in there because I just know that you won't even touch them.
All right, let's do it. I promise I'll let one go by.
It's coming up next on Afternoons. Nick Del Santo in the studio. We are into Stop and Go Del Santo. Jack Billings, Del, has silenced the critics and is the most improved player in the competition. Stop or go?
Go, but I agree.
You just agree that much you don't want to talk about
it? I agree.
Yep, that's fair enough.
Still a lot of work to do.
I'm going to stay with the Saints here. Because I tweeted this last night, so I wanted to see what response I get from you. Rowan Marshall is the most promising ruckman in the competition, and the Saints have got their man.
Ooh. Well, seeing you've tweeted something else, let's have a chat about
that.
Well, be your own person. Well, I like your opinion. I'd like to hear from your point of view. I rate him very highly, Marshall. I think what he did in the JLT in particular, he played down in Ballarat against the Dogs. I was very impressed with him then. I liked what he did off the back of last year where I thought he was a good forward, pinch hitting and helping out in the ruck, probably behind Tom Hickey. I like his craft. I like the way he gets around the ground. Lots of areas to improve. That's just being a young ruckman. That often takes him a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good comment. And I'm sure the listeners have other ruckmen in their clubs that they'd say, well, give this young guy a chance. He'll come through. But I like what I've seen from Marshall. He was solid on the weekend again.
Take this the right way, Saints fans, but whoever else is on the list as
Billy
a rucker,
Longer.
I know Longer's still there. I know Hickey's not there anymore.
Yep.
They are, in my view, they are purely insurance now for Rowan Marshall. They play seconds until Rowan Marshall gets injured or needs a rest.
What sort of feedback did you get just from the...
Mostly pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
it's Twitter, so there's a couple of germs, but that's normal. But no, mostly pretty good. And I can't take credit for it. Terry Wallace has been saying all year, we've spoken about the Saints a lot, and I do a lot of games with him. He says they've got the one they need in Rowan Marshall, and he's spot on.
Well, people that work at the club were speaking about him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They said, just give this kid an opportunity, just wait for him to come through, put a little bit of size on, learn the craft a little bit better. That was the raps on him internally.
And he more than held his own against Ben McAvoy yesterday. Some could argue he had the better of the duel because he might have done more around the ground. I did the game yesterday. He had 28 hitouts. 13 of those were to advantage.
Nice.
They're good numbers.
And I rate Big Boy very highly
as well.
I
do too. And he's had a great year, Ben McAvoy. In fact, a great 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
A couple of things that Marshall did yesterday, a couple of quick handballs and athletic moves where you're thinking, hang on, you're big. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, first of all, he's learnt to handball first and kick second, so that's a really good learning curve for a big fella. Only time you handball to a ruckman is if it's a give and go. You're going to get it back and you get two disposals as a result, Jack. But no, that's really promising. I think he probably fits into the same category as a few others. promising, building, but work to do. You can't be complacent. They don't have the right to be complacent with their first month of footy. It's been good, and you tick that box, but there's a lot of work to go.
Staying with the Ruckman, Dermot Brereton gave Brody Grundy no votes on Friday night. Collingwood Western Bulldogs, stop or go?
We'll let it go, but I did read that on Twitter. And speaking about germs, there was a lot of germs towards Doom.
Oh, geez. I tell you, if you ever, I would strongly advise if anyone's just ever getting a fraction ahead of themselves in life, just jump on Twitter for 10 minutes. Like AB27 or whoever you are, just identify yourself, you flogs. GWS are a legitimate premiership contender.
Stop. Absolutely stop. And the conversation it may have already started is, can they still win it or be competitive without Cal Ward, their spiritual leader? I think the evidence that we've already seen in the first month of football, Jack, is yes.
Too many tricks in the midfield for Geelong on Saturday, Dal, I thought.
And they grinded them away. They didn't start well, and particularly down there at the Cattery, you normally need to get off to a good start just to silence the crowd. Geelong were really good for the first quarter and a half, and every time the Giants scored, it sort of felt like, that's just one of a couple. Like, it didn't feel like there was any flow to it. They just kept persisting, chipping away, and then ultimately the Cats' defence became a bit slower through fatigue. Mm-hmm. Gaps started to be created from the Giants' overlap run, and they worked their way through. They are, we just touched on skills for about the first 20 minutes. They've got the most skillful players in the competition, and they've got multiple. I asked Jeremy Cameron before the game, I said, you're leading out of the goal square. Who do you want kicking it to you? He named three or four and still forgot a few, including Lockie Whitfield was one of the players that he just hadn't got to.
First,
yeah, he just hadn't got to him yet. Huge loss, Cal Ward. Huge, huge loss.
Massive.
It's just the sort of player that he is, the way that he can balance out their midfield. And we have been speaking for a couple of years about the amount of players that they're losing, the quality. Upsteps, Taranto, Cornelio goes to another level. Whitfield comes back into the midfield. He's not playing halfback flank because they've got some players back. They're just starting to gel, and they've got a tagger that plays a role that not a lot of other clubs have. Oh, I like what they've done to this point.
Yeah, I heard Gary and Tim talking about this morning on Brekkie, and they posed the question, which I'll pose to you. Do you think that other clubs will be looking at Matt DeBoer now and Mark Hutchings from West Coast, who does a brilliant job at it also, and thinking, how do we get one of those? Do we have a player on our list? Go back to what we're talking about at the start of the hour with players who maybe not that skillful but have got a great tank and can tackle and do all those things. Do we have a player on our list who we think is capable of being trained up to be our version of DeBoer or Hutchings?
I think if you asked every coach, they'd say, yeah, well, definitely if we had one. Yeah, we definitely. You don't draft taggers.
No.
Like it's a secondary thought. So the conversation within that, Jack, is, does that player take that responsibility? I look at Ben Jacobs from the Kangas. He was a freewheeling halfback flanker that was trying to get 30 touches every week, got dropped, came back a week or two later as the tagger and has ultimately made a career out of it. That's been his last 3 or 4 years now. He's missed a lot of football through injury. So they need to accept that that's probably their role. If they're going to play at the top level, you need to take that on board. Matt DeBoer would struggle and has struggled to get a game if it's based on his skill level. But he finds a position that suits him. That's the beauty of our game. That's part of the frustration that I have with some clubs that don't have this style of player. There's a position for everybody. Why we let the best players in our competition run around without being touched? In the last 2 weeks, we've seen Dustin Martin have a little bit of body contact. On the weekend, Tim Kelly got absolutely shut down from a little bit of contact. None of it was against the rules. Nothing was untoward. And then, obviously, the Dangerfield incident. But Danger only had Matt DeBoer when Kelly was off the ground. That's the only reason he was going to him.
Yeah.
And the conversation around Danger can be whatever it is. But, yeah, I still am staggered, and I've heard a lot of other people speak about it. Why you let the best players just run free is beyond me.
Is Kelly taggable?
Absolutely. It's a different beast. This game is a different beast when you've got someone ultimately not trying to be creative and win the ball themselves. They just follow you step for step. It's like a backpack. They're just there sitting behind you the whole...
That's true.
You're just towing them around like a caravan,
like
Jack.
Like a backpack.
Absolutely.
I like that.
It is a different beast when you don't shake hands at the start of the game and see who has the most disposals 2 hours later.